Joining us now to analyze breaking news headlines is Christina Mislan, Assistant Professor of Journalism Studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Sonali.
An 11-mile underground oil pipeline near Santa Barbara has burst, releasing an estimated 21,000 gallons of crude oil into the ocean and covering about 50 yards of water from the beach. The spill was first detected when a woman smelled fumes and reported them, after which the Coast Guard managed to stop the flow of oil. The pipeline is operated and owned by Plains All American Pipeline, which has issued an apology. The area that the spill occurred in is home to many species of wildlife, including a number of species of whales. In 1969, an oil spill in the same area, which at that time was the largest ever to be such a spill, helped to kickstart the local environmental movement. Meanwhile, Shell Oil, which has faced a slew of protests in the Seattle area in recent days, also faced anger from its own shareholders. In its annual meeting yesterday, Shell has pledged to combat climate change, and its shareholders want to hold the company to that promise. Christina, is this Santa Barbara spill yet another indication that the fossil fuel industry is just too dangerous to humans and the planet?
I definitely think it's one event out of many in the past decade or so, or maybe even longer, that continue to force us to have to search and think about what are we going to do, right, in searching for alternative energy sources. That's super important. I imagine that there are many people out there who don't believe that the fossil fuel industry is impacting them. But, you know, as recent catastrophic events, they tell us otherwise. And so even organizations that I often critique, for instance, the World Bank, even those kinds of organizations are warning us about the world warming at an alarming rate. You know, this fossil fuel industry is an industry that receives approximately $500 billion in annual subsidies. And so taxpayers are indirectly, around the world, are indirectly paying for the destruction of the earth. And we don't even realize it.
And then the Federal Trade Commission has just filed a major lawsuit that is the equivalent of a bombshell on the world of nonprofit charities. The government agency has accused four major cancer charities of, quote, outright lies, saying that, quote, the defendants told donors their money would help cancer patients, including children and women suffering from breast cancer. But the overwhelming majority of donations benefited only the perpetrators, their families and friends and fundraisers, end of quote. Staff and employees of the charities apparently purchased cars and took luxury cruises with donor money. The legal complaint contends that the charities, quote, operated as personal fiefdoms, characterized by rampant nepotism, flagrant conflicts of interest, and excessive insider compensation. The four nonprofit groups are the Cancer Fund of America, Cancer Support Services, Children's Cancer Fund of America, and the Breast Cancer Society. The FTC has filed a suit in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Christina, the story really shocked me, both in the accusations that the FTC makes and the fact that it filed this very strongly worded lawsuit. What is your reaction?
Yeah, well, and I think many people will find this news shocking, but the truth is that this isn't really a new story, unfortunately. And so when I read it, I thought, oh, yes, of course. I immediately thought of other nonprofit organizations, like, for instance, the American Cancer Society. So even bigger, more well-known charity nonprofit organizations have come also under increasing scrutiny. And so, for instance, over the last two decades, if we think about just a huge organization like the American Cancer Society, the budget comes from large corporations, pharmaceutical, cancer drug, the telecommunications, entertainment industries. So even you're not even just talking about the way in which donations are used, you're also talking about the interest that are involved in these nonprofit organizations and how they operate. So the foundation's board of the trustees includes, for the American Cancer Society, for instance, corporate executives. And so the bottom line is that maybe we need to start rethinking and redefining what it is that we mean by charity. I mean, maybe move away from this idea of just donating money, right? Find actually ways where we can get personally involved ourselves. It's easy to donate. It's much harder to use our own earning energy for much needed services. And it's also important to do research about the organizations that we want to donate to, if that's what we want to do.
Right. And finally, Los Angeles yesterday became the largest U.S. city to adopt a plan to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The L.A. City Council voted 14-1 to raise the current base wage of $9 an hour to $15 by the year 2020. The increase will be phased in over a five-year period, allowing businesses with fewer than 25 35 workers an extra year to catch up. The decision is expected to reverberate around the nation, where the call for $15 an hour is becoming the new norm. Adding to the growing demand for economic justice, presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders has just released a proposed bill that would fund public higher education through Wall Street transaction fees, effectively making college free. At a press conference yesterday, Sanders said, quote, "It is a national disgrace that hundreds of thousands of Americans today do not go to college, not because they are unqualified, but because they cannot afford it." Christina, could we be getting closer to a world where debt-free college graduates are able to earn at least $15 an hour and actually live decent lives? Or is that too optimistic?
You know, honestly, I have to say we might be a little too optimistic here. I can definitely see us moving toward actually having living wages for people. I think that's definitely realistic and in our near future. Free college tuition, though, is another issue. You know, as someone who works within the academic institution, and many other scholars have also critiqued the academy, you know, the academy works in many ways that are very much similar to corporate institutions. The money universities receive from tuition, alumni, sports, research, allow the university to run much like a business. And in fact, some universities, if not many, hire lobbyists to do their bidding in Washington. So there's a corporate mentality running even in public universities. This isn't just the Ivy Leagues. This isn't just private universities or the so-called nonprofit kind of universities, right? Or for-profit universities, I should say. It's really about, you know, there's all kinds of politics and interests that are going to prevent any attempt to make tuition free for everyone.
Christina, thank you as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Christina Mislan is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. We'll be right back.